You are listening to the Jacob Sessions Podcast, where you wrestle with God and one another.
Yep, this is a reintroduction plus some practical perspective. Those of us indeed who are in need of complete vision correction. The only thing that's required is a lens that's genuinely objective. And a minute of your time to wrap your mind around divine perception. Cause even the most mindless and spiritually blind can be the spectator in a theater of God's magnificent design. If you would incline your ears and your eyes to these sounds and these signs, we would attempt to rightly refine and align your crooked sight, but we not implying that a sunset or an ocean can begin to set in mind when the Son of Man began to set in redemptive motion. For morals, meaning, and devotion, heart, mind, and emotion, substance, significance, and truth cannot be explained or reduced to a big bang explosion. Because his character and nature cannot be known through natural revelation or shown through random acts or figments of your imagination. We, the beautiful eulogy, attempt to communicate audibly and visually to help you hear and see the glory of God clearly.
Welcome to a new episode of the Jacob Sessions Vodcast. I am your co-host because we are back to full strength. Co-host Calvin Moore, and you just heard a little bit of music. If you're listening to the podcast, you just heard a little bit of music from Beautiful Eulogy's new album, Instruments of Mercy. That track is called Vital Lens. You can check out that album for free on humblebeast.com or noisetrade.com. They're giving the album away free of charge. Great album. I wanted to change some things up. So if you are listening to the podcast, you miss out on all the gesticulation. Like right now, I'm moving my hands up and down for no reason. I don't know what to do with my hands. If you were watching the podcast, you just missed out on hearing some really cool music. So we want to do some things differently for you know, whatever medium you are listening or watching this through, whatever medium you are hearing this through, we wanted to do a few things different. So anyway, check out that album, Instruments of Mercy. It's brand new, just out as of today, which is the 29th of October when we are recording this. Okay, and however, welcome to the line, our panelists, of course. David Sidebotham, what is up?
I am eagerly awaiting my opportunity to buy Dances with Dragons. And that is what's up. So I am actually semi-contemporary this week, because I think that should be coming out in paperback fairly soon here.
Dances with Dragons.
It's the fifth installment in the Game of Thrones series.
Yeah. I think it's a Game of Thrones book. Sounded like one. Okay, all right.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. Definitely is. Okay. I just finished out series three. I like was way ahead because I read the books, and I got way behind because my friends were watching it, and pretty excited about that to see where that goes. So
okay, cool. Yeah. And welcome to the line also, Rachel Hargis. Rachel, what's going on?
Hello. Not a lot has been going on here. I recently just finished a couple of books and book reviews, I've been really bogged. Yeah, I've been a little bit bogged with work, just lots of homework and stuff. But the one book that I read that I particularly enjoyed, it was called Shadow Cities, and it was a book about urban squatters and the issues that come with having property that isn't technically recognized by a city government. So it was interesting because it was like profiles of specific people. It wasn't just like, here are the stats and here's like the policy behind it. It was more of like a sociological thing. So I really enjoyed it. So that's my week. Yeah.
That is really interesting topic.
So you're actually reading it and three books.
Yeah, I know. Wow. I just
don't know how I feel about that.
I'll be talking about a book here in a minute. But anyway, Scott Ramsey, welcome back to the line. Scott wasn't with us last week.
Hey, thanks. It's good to be back.
Scott there? Okay, there he is. All right. So what's on your plate this week? What are you reading? What are you listening to?
I am just getting started on a new documentary film, and so I am reading about one of the subjects of that film, Dr. Joycelyn Elders. So I'm reading her autobiography, From Sharecropper's Daughter to Surgeon General of the United States.
Wow. What is this documentary you're working on? What's it about?
The documentary is going to be about her and some of her work in Arkansas.
Whoa. Spoiler alert, dude.
That's well, it happened in the late 1980s. So, you know.
All right.
It's kind of old news, really.
Awesome. Well, I'm currently reading, I actually have the book right here. I'm reading Andy Crouch's Playing God, Redeeming the Gift of Power. On my screen, that's backwards. I don't know if that's backwards.
No. It looks okay, right good. To us.
Okay, cool. So Playing God, Redeeming the Gift of Power, which is a really interesting read for me, given that my older brother really reads. He loves these books by this guy with the last name, I want to say Green, and it's like the 48 Laws of Power or something like that. And I read that book a couple years ago, and 50 Cent, the music artist, the hip-hop artist, he did this big thing with it, and it was essentially just a bunch of rules of how to manipulate and get what you want out of people. And I was like, man, the bad thing is the stuff works. Like, you know, I was reading, I was like, I shouldn't think about it. And then, you know, you try out some of the stuff, you're like, huh, I could be Napoleon Bonaparte if I wanted to.
Give like an example of...
It was like 2 years ago, but never tell people more than they need to know. Never give people the full truth. Only tell them as much as you can so that you can get the best result for you. Stab them in the back as quickly as humanly possible. These kinds of things are just, I was like, wow, that just does not seem right. But it apparently works in the cutthroat business world. So it's kind of interesting to read this book by Andy Crouch, who does not deny that there is power. There are power structures within the church. There are power structures within life. And what do Christians do when all of a sudden power is thrust upon them? How do they deal with that? How do they handle it differently than others might? And so it's been an interesting read. And coming up this week in music, though, next week, Creed is back. Well, not Creed. Scott Stapp is back with his new album, Proof of Life. And it's just Creed, though, because he's the front man of Creed, right? And so if he releases a solo album, it's just his voice and it's the same kind of music. So is it Creed or is it not Creed? I call it Creed, but Scott Stapp has a new album, Proof of Life, coming out. Lecrae, on November 7th, has Church Closed Volume 2 coming out, which is a mixtape. It's going to be his second mixtape, going to be released for free. First one was released on datpiff.com. I'm not exactly sure how it's being released this time, probably again through DatPiff and probably Reach Records. Alex Faith, At Last, from Collision Records, was supposed to come out on November 5th, but I think it got pushed back to the 19th. I'm not quite sure. Either way, those three albums are coming out in the next few weeks. Christmas music we'll be announcing soon as well. So lots of new stuff on the horizon, lots of good books that we're reading, lots of books that are coming out. We kind of want to share those things going forward from here, trying to figure out what we're all about here that reflects our site. So I wanted to share some stuff that you guys might be interested in getting into yourselves. However, what are we going to talk about this week? This week, we are going to be discussing Halloween.
Ghosts and ghouls.
Yeah, ghost goblins. Paranormal activity. Boycott it all. Don't boycott it all. Whatever. And we're not really going to be tackling the question of, is it right? Is it wrong? I'm sure that'll come up a little bit. In our stories, but really just wanted to talk about how we each grew up with Halloween, maybe some crazy stories that we remember from Halloween festivities, or in my case, not Halloween festivities. So yeah, you guys, I have no idea what your guys' Halloween traditions have been growing up or now. Have they changed? Those kinds of things. So any one of you guys can start. What was Halloween like for you guys growing up?
Well, I think I had like a pretty quintessential Halloween experience growing up. I mean, I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago. So think like the typical neighborhood, you know, where the streets are safe and everyone's walking on little sidewalks and going up to the nice houses. And you know, like which houses have like the king size candy bars. And so you want to like target those. And you know, we had like elementary school, the Halloween party and the like room PTA parents would come in and you would like decorate your cupcakes. And then like, a bunch of us would go out, you know, as a group and get all of our candy and then you'd like sort it and give your dad the gross stuff.
Hey.
And yeah, wow. I that was it. So
that's so cool. I wish I'd had that experience. I'll talk about mine here in a minute. David or Scott, what were your experiences like?
I was going to say, I think it's just kind of hearing a snippet of what you're talking about there. I think that my Halloween experience might be more similar to yours, Calvin. I celebrated it when I was in kindergarten. It's one of the best memories of my life. My costume sucked. I painted myself.
Also, you peaked in kindergarten?
I guess effectively after that, it was in the third world, and I came back when I was 10. So there was like 2 years, which I had to do it before my parents considered me too old and basically said, yeah, you can either be an idiot if you do, because 12 is too old to be trick. Honestly, they really thought 10 was too old to be trick-or-treating, really. And then the church was doing the whole Halloween is evil. I never got that vibe from my parents at all, but we just ended up going to the Harvest Festivals because that was the thing to do. Decided that it was really dumb. I think celebrate Halloween, so I started dressing up as all kinds of really controversial things. Like, I dressed as a terrorist a few times and gave kids candy. I thought that was hilarious.
Really? You dressed as a like little known terrorist or like Osama bin Laden terrorist?
Oh, I straight up put on as close as I could to Arab garb as much as I could. I liked to mess with people. Then there was one time I dressed up like a communist and went to school, but because I'm blonde and white, people thought I was a Nazi. And I'm like, okay, A, communists are way worse. So I'm actually doing this worse than that. But B, seriously?
Wait a minute. Hold on. Okay, look, I can understand like, let's see, this is getting into some sketchy material. Like, I can understand if someone like.
Okay, I want to get like, into you're talking about Nazis a high like school version of me.
Well, Nazis are like easily identifiable, right? You know, they show up. You know what they look like. What does a communist look like? Do they just look like hipsters? I don't know.
I had a black.
Yeah, I made that connection, everybody. I made that connection.
I had a hammer and sickle thing. Like, it was straight up communist. I had a trench coat and a hat, and people just seemed I was trying to pretend I was Gestapo. And I'm like, okay, Gestapo stuff looks totally different from this. And that's the thing. I actually think it actually bothers me more that I was mistaken for a Nazi because of the whole racism thing, which is funny because Stalin killed more people. But yeah, so that didn't go over very well. I didn't do that again.
I can hope not.
There was a context to it, which was we had been doing the morning announcements, and we were all major geeks, and we were watching Battleship Potemkin. So we just had a Russian announcement day, and I thought it was awesome. So people get to recognize me for that. I'll just go with the Russian suit, which we had on the announcement day, and everyone's like, you're a Nazi. And I'm like, this is not staying on all
right.
Day.
So I'm going to go with the weirdest Halloween costume has gone to David in this conversation for sure. Scott, what about you?
Man, I grew up in a small town where every year we had like this Halloween carnival at school, and you know everybody in town came to it. There was lots and lots of stuff going on there, and it was really a community thing. So it kind of took a while before churches really sort of mobilized and decided that they hated Halloween. but they did eventually, you know.
Right.
I distinctly remember. Yeah, exactly. I distinctly remember going to a church, sort of, you know, Halloween alternative thing when I was a little kid, and we were told that we could only dress up as Bible characters. You know, you couldn't, none of that, you know, worldly sort of costume stuff.
Gotcha.
So I remember picking my costume with my parents, and they were a little like, I don't know. And I was like, yeah, I got to do this. And they let me in. So I went as a red devil.
Yeah.
with, you know, with the horns and the tail and the pitchfork. Yeah. I was like, hey, you know, the devil, that's biblical, right?
Buttons at an early age.
Yeah. And of course, I was young enough that I didn't really understand what I was doing there. But, you know, looking
back. I don't know what's worse, though. I don't know what's worse, Scott going as a devil or David going as a Nazi.
I did go as a Nazi. I just got mistaken.
Whatever, David.
I mean, that could happen with the devil, too.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I actually got to say, I think Scott's was better because challenging social conventions. Yeah.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Okay, so for me, I was jealous of the kids like Rachel, okay? Because I grew up in a Pentecostal background, and they've long been entrenched in their hate for all things pagan. Which is funny because, you know, nobody stops women from wearing white at a wedding or, you know, putting on wedding rings, both of which are pagan rituals, come from pagan rituals. But anyway, I digress.
Weddings, period, in the West are pagan in origin.
Yeah. My family, we didn't celebrate Halloween. So my mom, early on, this is before we even started doing harvest parties, my mom would like buy us candy. She'd like just go get us like big bags of like Starburst and stuff. And we turn off all the lights on Halloween. And so the kids would come around, of course, you know, the house has the lights off. Well, they're not home. But we were home. We just had to have the lights off. So we're like staring out the window watching all the kids go by.
Not
with
creepy
their bags
at all.
Of candy. And so, yeah, it was terrible. And so the next day, you know, at school, you know, which is the worst day for teachers because the kids are just all hopped up on sugar, right? So the next day at school, the kids would be going over like their, you know, their hall. Like, you know, like you, Rachel, you know, spread it out and on the table, see what you got. They'd be bringing their pillowcases full of candy to school. Yeah. And I had nothing. I had nothing to show for my trick-or-treating. But one year was awesome because we had a black cat, jet black cat. Cat's name, ironically, was Sugar. And this cat happened to be in heat.
Oh, no.
When Halloween fell. And so the cat was perched up in the window as kids are walking by, and the kid, and you could just see the kids' fear, like, yeah, we're not going there. We're not going to that house. But yeah, so we didn't get to celebrate Halloween, and then harvest parties came around, and they kind of did the same thing you said, Scott, where you could be a Bible character. Or as I got older, it started to take on a whole other thing where you couldn't wear costumes at all. You're coming to the harvest party. We're going to have fun, but you can't wear any costumes.
No costumes.
No costumes at all because costumes are inherently of the devil.
Have you not been to Comic-Con? Seriously.
Yeah. You can go to Comic-Con. That's different. Comic-Con is completely different. But yeah, it's I was not allowed to celebrate it as a kid. But now as an adult, I want to talk about how we celebrate it as an adult, because for me, and I'll start this off, since I've never celebrated it, now as an adult, I really don't have too much of a desire to celebrate it. You know, it's more for kids. It's great. You know, you hand out candies to little kids, which is interesting because we tell kids not to take candy from strangers any other time of the year, except for that day. It's okay. We trust everybody.
Unless it's from the van, just saying.
Yeah.
It's pretty much bad no matter what time of year.
Well, I don't know. Now they got trunk or treats, so that's just handing out candy from cars at this point. So
yes.
That's kind of creepy. But they're all from your church, so it's okay. But yeah, so now as an adult, I really don't have too much of a desire to do it, because now as an adult, for me, amongst my friends that I know, it's just really an excuse to kind of, another excuse to party, another excuse to get drunk. And I'm sorry, when it comes to women's costumes, it's like, let's just take whatever is normal and turn it into as sexualized as yes. possible. So she's not a nurse. She's a sexy nurse. She's not a banana. She's a sexy banana. I don't know how you make a banana sexy, but there is that costume, and I don't know how they pulled it off. But yeah, so, I mean, as an adult, I really don't have much of a desire to celebrate it. I don't know. Do you guys celebrate in any way as adults now?
No, I agree. I try to, like, I mean, Chicago gets kind of crazy during any major holiday that involves drinking. And so, historically, I've, like, left the city. Like, I've gone back to my parents' house, Halloween, what, because usually it's the past few years it's been like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so like on weekends. So yeah, I've just like gone home to get away from it all. And we haven't even handed out candy, not because we're morally against it, but no one, I don't know.
Why are being all stingy with the candy? Why are
stingy with the candy? You know, we don't have candy in our house normally. So. Yeah. Yeah, so it has been pretty anticlimactic. I mean, I had a lot of really good memories as a kid. Like, I'm good. Like, I am celebrated out. I'm satisfied. One day I'll have kids, maybe, and take them trick-or-treating, and it'll be fun, and I'll get to pretend like I'm just doing it for the kids, but really get all excited about it again. So. Yeah, but as of now, no. I mean, at Moody, we're not supposed to...
Halloween. Right. Moody.
Yeah. Moody.
Didn't even get me started. How did you get on this podcast?
I don't know.
Are you allowed to talk about? Will you get expelled for talking about Halloween?
No.
Okay, just making sure. I don't want to get you in trouble.
I think I'd be more fearful, you know, when we start talking theologically, like if I had denied like penal substitution weeks ago, you know, that might have been more of an issue.
Well, I can remix this so that it sounds like he just did.
Yeah,
but that's just for people listening on audio. So great. People who are listening to audio
Halloween
have
is
heard you deny Christ.
I deny penal substitution. Oh, wow.
That's hilarious. Okay, David, Scott, Halloween as adults, either of you doing anything?
You know, I gotta be honest, I have always geeked out over, I guess, projects, especially costume projects. So to my mind, it's an excuse to design a costume. The problem is I always have a costume which has like a $200 budget, and it's kind of like, I'm never gonna get to make this. So it's my opportunity to dream. I have been trying to work out enough so if I wanted to, I'm not quite there, but I'm almost there, I could go as...
You could be He-Man. You could be He-Man.
Actually, Pyramid Head from Silent Hill.
Who? That's the most random...
Sorry, oh, dude.
I don't understand.
Dude, it can't be a normal costume.
I hate to bring this up, but... This is where I, like, bring up the race card, because I'm like, white people get to be everything! Like, I can't
be Pyramid Head with me! We'll be a yin-yang Pyramid Head! It'll be so cool!
It has to be something that where, if I had a costume, I couldn't do something where people were like, so, what are you? What are you? Are you, like, a robot or something? Because I did that one year. I, like, wrapped my whole half my body in tinfoil. Because I worked in the kitchen, and I still have this roll of tinfoil, like this giant industrial roll of tinfoil, like 6 years later. But anyway, I wrapped half my body, and I was Cyborg from Teen Titans, which is a DC comic thing, for those of you who don't know.
Yeah, no, not a lot of people know what that is.
A lot of people know that, right? Yeah. And so it was obscure, but again, very few black characters. So I can be like two different Samuel L. Jackson characters. I could be like Nick Fury.
Well, that's the thing, though, because you've got to design your costume to have an impact on the person. That's why Pyramid Head is awesome. See, just hearing the term Pyramid Head, what is that?
No, I'm sitting here thinking you're a nerd. You're a total nerd.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've never denied that.
You're such a weirdo.
I mean, there's no two ways about it. If you ask me what I'm doing, it's going to be A, designed to somewhat off-put someone, and B, probably very nerdy. So...
I mean, I don't know anybody who, I mean, here in Michigan, we've got like Halloween USA, like there'll be like an abandoned building for like a year, and then always at Halloween, like it just pops up and it's there in that building, and then it's gone, right?
After that.
But like their costumes already designed, bro. And they're like $20.
But dude, that's not fun. Here, I gotta get you a picture of Pyramid Head. You
know what? Okay, look. Halloween USA is not making $0 a year. So apparently enough people think that it's fun.
I mean, I wouldn't deny that it's probably reasonably fun. Just not the most fun.
Oh, not the most fun. I got it. Okay, so while you're looking up Pyramid Head for all of us, yes. Scott, any plans for Halloween for you? I know you're a parent, so.
Yeah, I have the advantage of having a child who's just the right age to go get free candy from lots of people.
Gotcha. So are you a creepy parent, though? Like, everybody knows that this is really for you and not for the kid.
The way it typically works is my wife will walk around with my son, and I will drive the car. So we go to two or three different neighborhoods where we know some people, and we know it's great for trick-or-treating, safe neighborhood, easy to walk, well-lit, and good candy. So we'll go. I'll stay in the car typically. It always seems that there's some sporting event to listen to on the radio while we're doing it. Gotcha. And they collect the candy and just bring it back to the car for me.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And that's so have you ever thought about, I mean, since you're doing the slow crawl here, I mean, your kids and your wife are walking down the road. You have one child, right? One child.
That's correct. Yeah. 8-year-old son.
So, 8-year-old son walking down the road with your wife. Obviously you're doing the slow roll, right? You're not speeding through the neighborhood.
Correct.
Have you ever thought about rolling down your window, growing out the full beard, just being like, hey kids, hey, got some candy for you kids. You ever thought about doing that?
I have not. As a parent, I'm sort of sensitive to those things. So.
Hey, look, I'm a parent too. I have an 11-year-old daughter, and I think that would be hilarious.
So you should totally know better, Alan.
I do. I'm a bad dad. I'm a bad dad. I'll just admit it right here on the air. I think it's funny. Hey, look, if David can pretend to be a Nazi, I can pretend to be a kidnapper.
You know, seriously, absolutely, right? Because that's totally what I was doing. Speaking of non-kosher costumes, here is Pyramid Head. I gotta warn you guys, it's like a zombie costume, so it's...
All right, I'm clicking on this link. Okay, see? Yeah, that's just weird. I can't even show... Like, I couldn't even, in good conscience, show this if I was gonna somehow work this into the video, everybody who's watching right now and who's listening... This is some messed up stuff.
You can't show that.
That's just like a step above. I don't know which one's worse, like the Nazi. There's a Nazi.
That is so weird.
I'm gonna keep this theme going. I can't believe this. Okay, so or this. What's his name?
He's a monster from Silent Hill. It's Pyramid.
But what's his name?
Pyramid Head.
It is literally. A blood-covered, weird-looking dude called Pyramid Head, very aptly named, he has a pyramid for a head.
Now, I do want to clarify, if I did Pyramid Head, I would do it sans blood and probably do more of a biotech vibe, because that's what my art's like. I like it very much, like some of the art I draw.
How did you have a girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
How?
A lot of hard work, dude. And I work out, just saying. Wow.
Okay, can I redeem that and show like a fun picture?
Yes,
please do. Okay.
I thought that was pretty fun.
So
I'm not
here
for me.
There's a little bit of a story attached to this. But it's like a cute story, you know, one of that doesn't like freak you out and make you like not sleep at night.
Yeah, right, because you're a girl, it probably
I
involves
warned
Care
you guys.
Bears.
I said it's coming to a zombie thing.
It probably involves Care Bears and rainbows and making me sandwiches.
Yes, exactly. because I'm a woman. When I was like in middle school, there's always like a neighborhood party that we would go to as a family. So the first year we were invited, I was in like maybe sixth grade. And so like my whole family, we did like a theme costume. We got super, super into it. And so this, I'm going to try to do like one of those screen share things. I'm going to click screen share.
See, and I didn't do that because I had.
Yeah. Thank God.
Thank you, David.
People would never come back and listen to this podcast ever again.
Yeah, no, I'm even so telling glad
people the name.
Didn't.
Like, we mentioned the name like 8 times, but people are going to look it up and be like, oh my God.
If it makes you feel better, I picked one of the worst images.
You know what? I'm awake right now and I'm already having nightmares. I'm already having nightmares.
I know. That was creepy. So this is, these are my parents. We did like a movie theater theme. So can you see that?
Yes.
Yeah, I when you talk, so you talk and tell the story and we'll see the picture.
Okay, so can you see the picture right now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this was my parents. So my dad dressed up as like the nerdy, like usher when there used to be ushers in the movie theaters. And my mom was a box of popcorn, and there's actual popcorn inside, like the giant box that she's in. And then I'll flip it. Did it change?
Yes.
Yeah, there's M&Ms. Okay.
Yeah, so then that's me, and I'm dressed as a bag of candy, because that's, you go and you get popcorn, you get candy, and then the usher takes your teeth. So anyway, that is that. And now I think it's going back to, yay, okay. So yeah, so that's what we dressed up as, and we were super excited, and we usually don't get into this kind of stuff. Like, we're kind of like the whatever family, you know, when it comes to that stuff. So we were like really proud of ourselves. And so we like walked down and we were like, we're going to have the best costume ever. And we got there and it wasn't a costume party. So yeah, I was like, I was just wearing sweatpants underneath my costume. My mom was like committed to it. And she was just, like, had popcorn, like she just was popcorn all night, which ended up being great because people could just eat the popcorn right out of her costume.
I'm not going to lie, that's kind of gross.
But they did. It was cool. We like
that would
put,
be
like
you walking
bags
around and like M&Ms just falling on the floor out of your pockets and people just scooping those up and eating. Yeah. That's
yep. So there you that's go. I hope that was less traumatizing than that.
That was
nonsense.
Less yes. traumatizing. But it's funny. We only have a few moments here now, but my daughter, she doesn't live with me. She lives with her mom, and she gets to celebrate Halloween. And my niece lives with my mother about 20 minutes north of where I live now. And it's really interesting, and this is kind of like a parenting thing, so I think Scott can probably relate to this a little bit more than Rachel and David at this point. But it's really interesting to see your parents parent now that you're no longer a child. And so my niece, who is 9, lives with my mom, and she's giving her all the same reasons that she gave to me about not celebrating Halloween and yada, 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 yada. And, you know, like, I get all upset again. I get just as upset as when I was a kid that, she's not going to get any candy. She's going to be ostracized. And we didn't go to school. Speaking of that, we didn't go to school that day. My mom took us out of school on Halloween. We do not celebrate Halloween, and she would call in, and that was the reason that she would give. Our family does not celebrate Halloween and whatnot. And so now she's not letting my niece celebrate Halloween too. I'm like, this is like a rite of passage. Let her go out with a pillow sack full of nothing and then come back full of candy. But anyway, so yeah, it's interesting to see that happening again and kind of like push for my niece to be able
No, I think honestly, I'd be pretty upset if someone were trying to tell my kid they couldn't celebrate Halloween if they wanted to.
But I just wanted to be able to dress up as something fun and cool. I mean, kids nowadays, yeah, some people do weird pyramid head things.
I like crazy, how you respond more strongly to pyramid head than you do to the sexy banana.
Well, I'm just saying, man. I'll take the sexy banana any day over
so
what
I'll
you showed
up
us.
A sexy banana, then.
Oh my god. I would actually be more okay with that. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah.
Well, he's said several times now that he's been working out. So.
Yeah, he has. He's been throwing that in there. You should find a way to work that in every week now.
I work out. When I walk in this spot.
Hey, I need to go to the bathroom. It's that way.
I'll just say it gives me something to push for it and try to attain.
Yeah, well, why don't you attain something normal next year? Like kids today, like they're going out and some dress like ghouls and goblins and stuff like that and whatever, vampires, a little cute vampire. But nowadays, most kids are like dressing up like Iron Man and Cinderella and, Batman. And boys are basically superheroes and Bob the Builder, and girls are basically princesses and fairies and things from Harry Potter. And I think it's so cute and so much fun, and I think every kid should have a day where they can just play and be make-believe. Make-believe. I don't know. How do I say that? I don't know. Anyway, I'm getting all tongue-tied here. We're pretty much out of time on this one, and I need to announce something, though. Need to announce something. Rachel Hargis is the winner of our picture contest.
Surprise!
Way to go, Rachel.
What do I win?
The satisfaction of knowing that you are prettier than the three guys on this podcast.
I mean, I don't know. I could have dressed up as a sexy banana.
You could have dressed up as a sexy banana. Way to keep that going. Yeah. Way to play that. That's good. I'm pretty sure that we just lost the other three people who listen to this podcast. Sorry, this is not endorsed by, thank God we're not endorsed by anybody. They'd be like, we put some money forward and now you guys are talking about sexy bananas and we looked up that picture of Pyramid Head and we are very upset.
Oh, no, seriously, most times you Google it, you're not going to get anything like that. I think we're probably safe.
You guys are making it seem like
it was this really horrifying thing. That was not that bad.
I want to get into a conversation about like what is appropriate and inappropriate for Christians if they're going to celebrate Halloween at all. What's appropriate and inappropriate for them to dress up as? I'm going to put Nazis and Pyramid Head on the list of things you should.
Well, the thing is, it's not for Halloween. It's actually, oh, God in heaven, I'm going to say it, Comic-Con.
It's for Comic-Con. Wow, okay.
Yeah,
it's even better. I just made that.
Hey,
that,
I need to ask a question again.
I said that online.
You have a girlfriend, right?
I do, yes.
How?
I work out.
This is like the stuff that you hid from her, right, when you were initially dating? Like actually, hey, I got a job, I got my own car. Wow. All right. Well, anyway, that's all the time we have for this particular episode of the Jacob Sessions. Not a lot of arguing, just kind of wanted to share our own stories about Halloween and the weirdness that is David Sidebotham. So if you have a topic you want us to talk about or you want to tell us about your Halloween traditions, email us at thejacobsessions3228@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Jacob_Sessions, and you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheJacobSessions. We are socially networked to the hilt, I'm sure. I should start a LinkedIn. I don't know why. Because on LinkedIn, you're just connected to a bunch of people, and you don't know how you got connected. But anyway, we are socially connected, so you can find us there. Email us topics you want us to talk about. Email us what you thought of this podcast or previous podcast. We'd love your feedback. Thanks so much for listening. Definitely check out some of the books we talked about, and definitely check out that album Instruments of Mercy by Beautiful Eulogy from humblebeast.com or noisetrade.com. So anyway, we will see you guys next week. We have no idea what we're going to talk about then, but it'll probably be a little bit more important than the fact that David dresses as a Nazi from time to time. So, anyhow.
I just want to not know what that was. It was in context, I was pretending to be a communist.
Sure.
When you try to defend it, make it worse, I would just stop.
Yeah, it totally does. How do you have a girlfriend? Anyway, see you guys next week.
I'm not going to answer that question again. So your love everlasting. I start where I finish, pick it back up where I left it. I'm just a man of unclean lips. I've only seen a glimpse, but everywhere I look, I see his fingerprints. All things were made through him. We received his revelation, so we reflect it when we breathe. And the concepts we conceive are born of spiritual seed, manifest in a material realm as musical composition. The rhythm of heart.